Hi everyone, Friday the 22nd of March and it's the Celtic Way morning briefing. I hope you are well, looking forward to the weekend, albeit a weekend without Celtic. Scotland are at least playing this weekend, maybe up against a couple of former Celtic players as well. I don't know, Van Dijk and Frimpong will be in the Netherlands team or what the situation is. We might get on and talk about that. Tony, Ryan, with me, Hamish, how are things, guys?
All good. All good. It's every weekend when there's not a Celtic fix, you kind of get withdrawal symptoms, don't you? But, you know, Scotland are doing okay just now, so I think there's enough interest in the Scotland national team to maybe tune into that and watch that. Although the wife might not be too chuffed because it's her birthday tonight and I did promise to take her out.
Ah, oh, come on. You can't be watching Scotland.
Exactly. So I think taking the wife out for dinner on her birthday maybe trumps that a bit, but I'll find out the score and I'll see the highlights later.
I must say that there's a small part of me, and I do agree with you, Tony, like missing Celtic, wish we had a game. There is a small part of me kind of glad just to have a kind of easy weekend and not have to worry about anything, because there's going to be plenty of worry and excitement and nerves to come, Ryan.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm delighted to have a bit of a weekend off it. You know, having Saturday, Sunday off is a good bonus as well, especially if you're writing about Celtic 24/7. It's been a good week with regards to writing about Celtic on the website. I'm sure we'll go on to that, but at the same time, I'm looking forward to just having a week to or a weekend to just recharge the batteries a bit, because as you said, it'll be absolutely mental from now until the end of the season. This is the last sort of pit stop before the final straight, the business end, as people call it. So I'm looking forward to just recharging the batteries, because from next weekend, it's going to be full octane action from now until the end of the season.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Listen, plenty to chat about. First of all, thanks to MPH Boilers, who've recently become proud Celtic community partners. They're the sponsor of this video. And MPH Boilers is bringing you a special home cover plan offer at the moment. You can get comprehensive coverage for just 99 pence a month for the first 6 months. This includes everything from annual boiler service to full heating system plumbing and gas supply pipe coverage. After the first 6 months, the plan upgrades to just £25 a month for the remaining 6 months. It ensures your home is always in top condition all year round. If you're interested in this offer, message MPH Boilers Facebook page, quote MPH Celtic. You can also quote MPH Celtic if you phone them on 0800 779 7778. Fantastic way to support your home this year, and a big thanks to them for supporting the show and becoming a proud Celtic community partner. And just a final shout out of the week for the amazing deal we've got running at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely, and we thank everybody for getting involved, those who have got involved so far with our deal. 6 months of access for just £1, and you'll receive a Kyogo Furuhashi print as well with your subscription for the 6 months. The uptake has been absolutely incredible over the past week or so. It's been running 8 days now and the numbers have been so good. So we thank everybody, but we don't want to stop. We never stop on the Celtic Way. So if you are interested, then please visit www.celticway.co.uk/subscribe and get involved. £1 for 6 months, that'll keep you going until September for all your Celtic news, Celtic scouting reports, analysis, opinion pieces, hot takes, whatever you could think of, basically, it'll be on the Celtic Way as a piece. So if you are interested, then please visit www.celticway.co.uk/subscribe.
God, September's a long time away, isn't it? What will we all be doing in September? I wonder.
Talking about Celtic, the usual. Hopefully have a new goalkeeper and a couple of new players as well to speak
getting
about.
Getting ready
by then
for our first campaign in the new Champions League, eh? Right, that's the kind of positive mental attitude that we need. Right, I want to chat a wee bit about Henrik Larsson. You're already buzzing in the chat for us to chat about Henrik Larsson. The guy literally has to turn up to a charity event and we're all, I was going to say, falling back in love with him. We never are not in love with Henrik Larsson, but his name and face comes back up and we chat about him. He was present last night, although only a matter of hours ago, actually, in New York at the Celtic Foundation's annual New York Gala dinner, which is a bit of a mouthful. Henrik Larsson was there, the manager. Brendan Rodgers was there. Who else was there? Deacon Blue were there. Didn't have them down as a Celtic band, but they've literally got Blue in the name, but we'll let them away with it. George McCluskey, lovely guy. Roy Aitken was there. Liam McGrandles was there. Us three weren't. We're trying not to take it personally, Tony. But I think the big thing here, a lot of money raised. A staggering $355,000 raised. Incredible.
Oh, that's brilliant, isn't it? And as you say, just the very mention of the man, Henrik Larsson, King of Kings, the Magnificent Seven, call him what you like, makes grown men and women do that and weep. And just, I said before, and I wrote it in a book, just the sheer unbridled joy that that player gave you watching him. I know it's just before your time, Ryan, but you've got a bit of a handle on how good he was and what he did, you know. And I've also said that the statistics are ingrained in my brain for a very big reason. 242 goals in 315 games in 7 years. It says it all. And the reason I say that is, and I've told you this before, but I'll tell you again because I mentioned it to you off here and you weren't aware of it. I described every one of Henrik Larsson's goals for the Daily Record pull-out when he left the Daily Record. Sorry, when I left.
Pre-YouTube.
Yeah, pre-YouTube. When Henrik Larsson left Celtic in 2004, my boss, Ian Scott, God rest him, one of the biggest Rangers fans you've ever met in your life, but a lovely, lovely man. And he walked around the desk and he said, and he was coming towards me and I was just like, no, please don't ask me to do it. He said, you don't know what I'm going to ask you to do. I said, I do. I said, I've got a funny feeling. He said, you're going to ask me to describe every Henrik Larsson goal. And he said, that's exactly old chum. He used to call everybody old chum. He said, that's exactly old chum. And his words to me were, do it because you'll love it. And he walked away. He says, I'll leave that in your entry. So I had about 6 weeks, as you say, pre-YouTube. And what I had to do was key in Henrik Larsson into the Daily Record files. And I had to do it by like 12 hours over the course of a Saturday. So from such and such a time, go from 3 o'clock on a Saturday to maybe 8 o'clock at night and break it down that way, because you keyed in Henrik Larsson and it just spat out like 30,000 entries. So I had to break it down and break it down and break it down. Painstaking. And but the beauty of it is, there it's there, right? I got it laminated, 242. There's 4 pages of that. And if I home in, you can see the inky there. That's his signature. He signed every page for me. Amazing. Because we went to a night out for Angie, who used to wash the kit along with John Clark. Sorry about the dogs. And she sadly passed away, and Henrik Larsson came to a night at Celtic Park like he did in New York night the other night. And he was sitting beside Alan Stubbs, whom I got to know very well, when he was a manager of Hibs, because I covered the Hibs and Hearts beat at the Daily Record. And so I just used Alan Stubbs as you would, and as you would in the dance room, say, here, you got off with my friend. I just went up to Alan Stubbs and said, Alan, how you doing? He was like, oh, Tony boy. And I'm like,
can I get off with Henrik Larsson?
Basically, can I speak to him? Can you introduce me? He introduced me. So I had the pen in the hand and the laminated stuff. And he just kind of looked at me and he said, do you want me to sign those? I said, I would love you to. And he went, oh, my son read that. He said, I remember my son keeping it as a souvenir, no Jordan. Yeah. I said, yeah. I said, yeah. So I believe, you know. And then I said to him, I says, before you go any further, I said, I'd just like to say, I says, I'm the author. I wrote that. That's why I'm asking you to sign it. And he was like, oh, brilliant. He said, where do you want me to sign it? And I said, anywhere. So he signed all 4 pages. And as he's handing it back, he's saying to Alan Stubbs, I remember the hat trick at Tynecastle. Yes, yes. You know, that kind of Bond villain Swedish voice. Yeah. And then as I walk away, he just says, poor Bert Conterman. And my shoulders have just collapsed, you know. And I've looked at Alan Stubbs and he's just like, oh, brilliant, you know. So to his lap, but I said to Alan, thanks very much. I said, I feel that I used you there for that purpose. But I've got a priceless souvenir. And the one thing I always hark back to is Ian Scott was right. Henrik Larsson did love it. And he did me the greatest honour of signing it. And, you know, it's something that I need to get it in my wall. at some point. You can't put a price on that, really, can you? It's a kind of surreal memory from my journalistic career, of which there's been a few, but that was just something special, you know, really special.
A real effort you went to that, you know, for that as well. So it's amazing that you got the recognition from the great man himself.
One of those ones, isn't it?
Yeah, I saw Penrith Larsson score one goal at Celtic Park, and it wasn't for Celtic.
Barcelona.
Hellish, man. Any Larsson? I mean, that would be hellish these days, Ryan, wouldn't it? It'd be much easier these days doing that kind of blow-by-blow account of all of Henrik's goals. You would literally just stick that YouTube video with all the goals on it, and you'd be done in an hour, probably, whereas for Tony, that must have been, 242 goals.
That's about 5-6 weeks, something like that, you know. Jeez.
I would have, I think nowadays you would have probably annotated them like we do with the analysis videos. Can only imagine how long that would take, although that would be a joy, because just what a striker, watching the goals back, you know. I wasn't lucky enough to really see him that much in person, but just watching the goals, watching the DVDs of the videos at the time of Henrik Larsson, an incredible striker, the likes of which I don't think Celtic will ever see again, or certainly not for that amount of time. Loyalty to the club, the 7 years that he stayed, when he could have very easily moved to any club that he wanted. The likes of that we'll never see again. He's just special. I can't believe he's not got a statue already at Celtic Park, to be honest with you. I think it's only a matter of time before that is the case, because he is a truly legendary figure, and somebody that, when you think of modern Celtic, that's the first player that you think of, probably.
Oh, yeah.
There's a good reason for that, because he's iconic.
He's the only foreign player in the greatest ever Celtic 11.
Yeah.
It tells you all, doesn't it? Really?
And the only one for the 21st century as well.
Yeah, and the esteem and the regard that he's held in. And I think that night in the Armadillo, whatever it was, everybody who was inducted into the greatest ever Celtic 11, that meant more to them than anything that they've ever won at the club. You know, just that validation that, you know, the Celtic supporters love you. And it's hard to pick a greatest ever Celtic 11, isn't it? But, you know, for guys like Jimmy Johnston, who was voted the greatest ever Celtic player, but Larsson to be in that team, he just sort of looked around and he was like, wow. And being the only foreign player, what an accolade, what an absolute accolade that was. And, you know, just a measure of how he's revered. You know, he's revered at Celtic, you know.
Great to kind of hear him doing well and looking well. He did look older, but, like, age, you know, comes to us all. And it's probably been a while since we've seen a photo of Henrik Larsson, but if that makes sense, he looked older, but he looked well. And good to hear that he's doing well. I remember that interview recently with The Guardian when he spoke about falling out of love with football, and you're kind of reading that and just kind of wondering if, you know, he's getting on all right. So it's nice to see him along at that event last night, see so much money raised. Good to see Brendan Rodgers there as well. A few comments here. Chilpil saying that Henrik looking older now, catches up with everyone, I guess. He must be in his 50s. Jim, wondering, Tony, who's your favourite, King Kenny or the King of Kings?
I'll always say King Kenny, because he was my first ever hero, but it's as close as you can call it. I think Henrik's up there in terms of ability with King Kenny. You know, King Kenny was just, I've always said that King Kenny's a 10 out of 10 player every day of the week, twice on a Sunday. He was that good. And he should have won the European Cup with Celtic. I wrote about that recently, Ryan, didn't I? Why? And, you know, but I just think both players raised Celtic out of the ordinary. And you know, like, two kind of world-class status at times, because both of those players were world-class. And I mean, in a true definition of world-class, I think Kendall Beach is the last world-class player that this country has produced.
Yeah.
And I think Henrik Larsson is the last world-class player to play for Celtic. Celtic have had. And people might disagree with that. That's fine. Again, it's just my opinion. But when we talk about world-class, you're talking about, you know, players that are, you know, you know, game definers, magic players, you know, that produce at the drop of a hat. And that's my kind of definition. And would fit into any team in their era of that period. And Dougley showed that when he went to Liverpool and won a European Cup three times. Larson showed it when he went to Barcelona and won the Champions League. So that's what I mean by when I talk about world class. You know?
Van Dijk definitely went on to be world class, but he probably wasn't at Celtic, was he, Ryan? Have you got any other contenders for the world class tag? I mean, Nakamura produced some world class moments, but he wasn't probably world. What does world class mean? Could walk into virtually any team. I mean, Larson literally did, didn't he?
World class Henrik Larsson would have walked into Man United's team if he'd left Celtic at any point. You know, he played for Man United in, what, 2006 at the end of his career when he went on loan from Helsingborg. If he'd have went 3, 4, 5 years previous, he would have been the first choice striker or one of the first choice strikers under Sir Alex Ferguson. Alex Ferguson says it's one of the biggest regrets of his career not signing Larsson earlier, but the fact is he wasn't interested in coming earlier on in his career. He wanted to honour his contract with the club that done him, that did him so well. You know, he was a good striker at Feyenoord, but he really came to the fore at Celtic. He really, really found his goal-scoring touch and became an international player. It's weird watching. I was watching a video with Zlatan Ibrahimovic a couple of days ago, and Henrik Larsson's up front with them. They actually had a front two of Larsson and Zlatan, which is incredible. They didn't really do
Lundberg
too much.
Lundberg supplying the ammunition as well.
It's incredible. It's like a sort of Belgium-esque golden generation of players they had at their disposal. But yeah, although I've never seen him that much in the flesh, like I mean, maybe once or twice, but even then that would be going back a bit, and I don't really remember it too well. You just know from word of mouth, from speaking to people that watched him, about how iconic a figure he was. He's revered by every Celtic fan that watched him at any point. He's just an incredible player. And I know a lot of people haven't watched back Seville because they're gutted at what happened. But if you watch the highlights, that's a guy that didn't deserve to be on the losing side. Incredible. The headers that he scored in that game were absolutely insane. Just a tremendous player, and I was delighted when he did go and win the Champions League with Barcelona because he deserved that European accolade in his career that he didn't get at Celtic. You know, it was almost as if when Barcelona beat Arsenal, it's as if Celtic won a trophy as well because Henrik Larsson got that big European accolade. Just brilliant for him. What a career. And it's great to see him do so well. You know, age catches up with everybody, but he's still looking well and he looked dapper as well. So, you know, all the best him. And it was good that he turned out for that, for a good cause.
Also think when you're remembering Henrik Larsson, you also have to remember the man that brought him as well, who's sadly no longer with us, Wim Jansson. And it's the biggest robbery in transfer history, $650,000 for Henrik Larsson. If there's a better deal, somebody better tell me in the comment section, because it has to be up there. I mean, it's just, it's larceny, isn't it? If you excuse the pun. But it is, it's like $650,000. And I spoke to Jock Brown before, and it was Jock Brown that concluded that deal. And because Wim Jansson had made Jock Brown aware that there was a clause in the contract, because I think Celtic were, I think the initial fee was going to be something like $2.5 million. And it was made aware that the clause, so Jock Brown had to go and translate screeds and screeds of Dutch law into English and clauses and contracts to make sure that they got Henrik Larsson for $650,000. And so both Jansson and Brown had a huge part to play in Henrik Larsson coming to Scotland. So, you know, you say big up to these are things that people maybe are not aware of. But those two played a prominent part in the King of Kings coming to Scotland. And for the next 7 years, he just ruled the roost, didn't he?
Yeah, Monty saying, I met Henrik outside Celtic Park after a friendly against West Ham. There was a group of about 20 wee kids waiting for his autograph, so I'm just moved about the way. Fair enough, Monty. Don't blame you for that. Although that's not behaviour that we would condone, moving kids out of the way. We'll let him away with it because it was Henrik. Seamus saying, good morning, boys. King Henrik was the best I've ever seen playing for the Celtic. He was a class act. And Celt is in our, channeling his inner 14-year-old girl saying, don't cry because it's over, smile because it happened. Nice event, though. Seems like there was over 300 there. It's always like quite a big event, raises a lot of money. And I guess those in attendance will be delighted because they'll have a chance to actually see the team play in the summer when we go to the States. Anything else you just want to get off your chest about that? Still gutted we didn't get an invite.
I've never been stateside as well, so, you know, I'm sure that was a great night. It looked like a good night, judging by the pictures. It's mental. And that's the reason why Celtic... Yes, it's good to make money by going stateside and bringing Celtic along, but they're also going because there's a massive support over in the US, and it's been talked about for years, and I'm glad it's getting utilised, you know. Maybe it wasn't possible due to the COVID times a couple of years ago, but now they've got a clear run at it this season, or this pre-season, and they can bring Celtic over, playing against Chelsea, playing against Man City, playing against a hometown side in DC United and Washington. You know, Celtic are really selling it as well. I'm sure it'll be a good turnout. There'll be plenty of Celtic fans eager, even neutral fans that want to see Celtic and wouldn't really get a chance any other way to go along to the game. It's going to be a good turnout, I'd imagine, for the three games, and I'm looking forward to catching them, regardless of what time that they're on at night.
Yeah. We've got Livy up next, as we know. Tony, a week from now, we'll be kind of really approaching the match. Last week's kind of, I think this has been an all right week in terms of news and discussion and all of that. There's been enough happening, but it's only going to ramp up, isn't it, over the next week with, you know, the team returning and all of that.
I have to say, this has been one of the most enjoyable international week. Normally you dread it, but this week's been very good. You know, we've plugged the deal and we've had some cracking rabbit hole disappears down on the pod, but I really enjoyed it. It usually lasts forever, or you think it lasts forever, but I've had some cracking content on the site as well. And just flick this up, there's an interview with Paul Lambert on today, just as if by magic there it appears. You can have a read at that, guys. Paul Lambert,
what was he saying?
He's talking about handling the title pressure, isn't he, Ryan? Saying if you can't handle it, don't sign for Celtic. If you can't handle big games and go to Ibrox and places like that. But he also mentioned the point, and you to come back to it, it could be rendered academic if you don't beat Livingston. So, you know, but he said, I think most Celtic fans are assuming that will happen, but you've got to be professional in your job and go out there and beat Livingston. Tricky game, it's had its problems before, but I think Celtic have got a handle on how to beat Livingston now. And yeah. I think all being well, they'll be going to Ibrox top of the league, won't they? That's exactly the scenario that's in your head. And yeah, so I think that Celtic have to, you know, Livingston, yeah, as much as maybe in the past you might have had a wee bit of trepidation, not because they're a good team, but just because of the surface and all that, and the way Celtic sometimes turn up and played on it. But now I just think they've got the clinical head on, they've got the business head on. You know, just be ruthless and professional as possible, do the job, and then go to Ibrox still ahead and see if you can go further ahead.
Yeah, I mean, we've been so inconsistent this season that you really can't afford to take, and we're not good enough at the moment to take any game for granted. Yeah. We see what happens if we don't, you know, apply ourselves properly to matches. That Livingston ground, it's no longer called the Tony Macaroni, by the way, but that Livingston ground, Ammanvale, has presented plenty of challenges in recent times, but our last three visits there have all been, I would say, pretty easy victories. Do you think, Ryan, the fact that we played Livingston recently and they gave us a bit of a scare at Celtic Park may end up being a good thing, and the team, you know, will be aware that there's, you know, no room for taking the bottom side in the league lightly?
Yeah, I think the fact that they've played them, as you said, recently, they'll have that experience of playing a team, they'll know roughly who they'll be coming up against, they'll know the strengths that they have, because they did have strengths in that game against Celtic. A lot of that was down to the fact that Celtic were really weak at the back with Stephen Welsh and Liam Scales. I'll always say that Celtic are a stronger team, and they're just a different beast altogether when Cameron Carter-Vickers is at the back for Celtic when compared to those two. They do have strengths. That is it Yenge up front looks a decent player.
Looks
he might
good.
Get a decent move.
He looks good.
Yeah, he might get a decent move off the back of that if Livingston get relegated. When Livingston get relegated, sorry to sort of condemn them, but that looks as if it's going to be the case. That's you're playing against the pitch as well as the team. It's probably the worst plastic pitch out of a lot of them, to be honest. And that Kilmarnock is the best of a bad bunch, but even still, you don't enjoy going and watching those games in the plastic pitch. You worry about injuries. You know, there's certain players that don't even play on those pitches. I remember Jozo Simunovic wouldn't even play on a plastic pitch after these injuries, because you know, it was so susceptible to picking up a knock on them. But it should just be another game for Celtic. They'll know how important it's going to be. They know that if they drop anything, you know, that the odds are that Rangers will beat Hibs the day before, so the pressure will be on even more for Celtic to get a result. But that's the title race. You know, they've got to expect to win every single game if they want to win the league. Their record's going to have to be near invincible in order to win the league. That's just how close it is between the two sides at the moment. But yeah, it should take care of itself. If Celtic play to the way that we know that they can play, you know, players come back like Callum McGregor, Rio Tati, Cannon Carter-Vickers comes through unscathed, then I think they should be okay on the day, because even with 10 men, they were so much better than Livingston. Yeah. That Kyogo and Maeda front two just caused absolute havoc when they put them. They just pushed them up the park and said, right, just go and cause mayhem for the next 50, 60 minutes. And they did that. So with 11 men, as long as they can handle the fixture and handle, you know, whatever Livingston are going to throw at them, I think they'll be okay. But they need to just do a professional job and keep on winning games. You know, the derby is the game after Livingston game. Livingston game is the most important. And, you know, you put so much more pressure on yourself if you don't go and win the game that you're supposed to win, which is Livingston. I know every game isn't a guarantee, but, you know, Celtic really should be beating the bottom side, because every other team has been beating the bottom side this season. That's why they're at the bottom of the league.
Yeah, three wins all season, as we said, in the league. Impossible question, and I can already envisage both of your answers. And I know we should take it a game at a time, but, you know, it's fun to look ahead a wee bit. Eight league games to go. How many of them do you think we have to win the league, Tony?
Eight or seven wins in a draw. That's champion.
Assuming one of the draws is against Rangers.
Yeah, one of the draws against Rangers, yeah. But I don't think you can ask for anything less than that and expect to win the title. So if I'm Brendan Rodgers, I'm saying we've got eight to go. I want eight wins. If you can't get eight wins, make sure you get seven wins in a draw. And that draw being possibly at Ibrox, if you have to take a draw at Ibrox. But again, I said yesterday, I don't particularly want to take it. This team's capable of winning eight games in a sprint. They really are. They're still a talented team. They've got some talented players. And so go and do it. This is why and Paul Lambert said it himself today, this is why you sign for Celtic. You sign to be involved in this kind of title race. And yeah, it's the closest it's been in years. Fine. Go and prove that you're up to it. Go and prove you're up to the job. And, you know, and yeah, they've not been consistent all season. I get all that. But they're still capable of going on an eight-game winning run. And I don't see anything to suggest that they're not, to be honest. And I just think they're maybe hitting their stride and getting players back at the most critical juncture of the season. And I think that will help galvanise them. And, yeah, as I say, eight wins out of eight. If I can't get eight wins out of eight, I want seven wins in a draw, and a draw to be Ibrox, obviously, you know, so that you can... And that wins the title, doesn't it? And you can't look forward. You know, you don't like to look too far ahead, but, you know, that team, that squad of players is capable of doing that.
Yeah, playing devil's advocate, Ryan, are that squad capable of doing that, given what we've seen this season?
The vast majority of that squad won a treble last season, so they're capable of going on good runs and winning trophies. I know there's quite a few new players in the team that are not used to maybe the pressures that come, the pressures that maybe Paul Lambert was speaking about. Maybe that's got the better of them, but they'll need to get used to it from now until the end of the season. You know, draws are not good enough anymore. They've never been good enough throughout the season, but, you know, it's got to be wins from now until the end of the season. If you're going to draw a game, as Tony said, it's got to be Ibrox. Rangers at Ibrox. You've got to beat them at home at Celtic Park. That is a must win. Like, there is no margin for error in that game. Celtic have got to go and win that. Whenever that game's getting played, I presume probably the end of April for that, or maybe the start of May.
The start of the split, won't it?
Yeah,
it's a massive game. That really does. It could be a title decider. I think it is that big between the two sides. It's exciting, but Celtic have got to win. I think they've got to win all eight, to be honest. They've got to go out and try and win all eight. maybe a draw here or there against Rangers, but they've got to go on some sort of run. This has got to be their best run of the season from now until the end of the season. That'll really show that they are title material and they're champion material by going on a run from now until the end of the season. If they can do that, the Scottish Cup should hopefully take care of itself, and then, you know, a League and Cup double. From how it started, if it finished like that with Celtic getting two out of the three trophies, I think that'd be a very successful season, given the upheaval that happened at the start of the season. That's not a long way away. They know what they have to do. They have to go and win the majority of their games, and then that should probably take care of itself. But yeah, looking forward to this title running. You've got to embrace it. This is what being involved with football is all about. You look forward to these moments and you've just got to savour it.
I must be getting exciting, lads, because I've made the decision that I'm going to be getting up for every match for the rest of the season, regardless of kickoff time. To be fair, I think it's changing to 9 hours soon, so the worst kickoff time will be like midnight. But I'm staying up or getting up for all the matches, because it's getting too exciting and every match means something, Tony.
That's devotion for you, Hamish. Well done.
I know. Getting up to watch my team play, I deserve a medal for that.
A chocolate watch, at least, you know what I mean? Yeah, and that's the way it's going to grip me, isn't it? Because it is exciting. Yeah, your nerves are going to get frayed, you know, there'll be butterflies in the stomach.
And I've already got them.
Aye, and it'll be torture, right? But you just kind of project ahead and think how sweet it'll be if they manage to get it over the line. And Ryan's talking about the League and Cup double. It'd be great if they can do that, but see, even if they just win one and that one's a title, I don't care about anything else. I really don't. The Scottish Cup is a bonus, but you've got to think they've got a great chance of winning it because they're in the same. But, you know, if they're going to lose a game and it happens to be in the Scottish Cup, I don't give a toss as long as they win the title.
I agree with that. So, if you offered me just one trophy and it was the league right now, I'd probably take it.
That's all that matters, right? And especially the prestige and the money and what follows it when you're talking about entering into the Champions League. So that's my concern. And yeah, and there is excitement to it because it is the closest run title in a long, long time. But, you know, you just got to strap yourself in and the chips fall where they may. But I've still got every confidence in the manager and the players to do this, because I still feel, and I haven't watched the Rangers Motherwell game, I think there's fragility there. And if it comes down to good old-fashioned bottle, I think Celtic will be, in terms of the fact that that team, as Ryan said, have won the treble and a majority of it. See, being over the course and distance before, it helps. You can draw on that experience. It really does. I think a lot of the Rangers players, this is new territory for them. And nerves play a huge part. It's only natural. And there'll be nervous players in the Celtic dressing room as well. But I keep referring to it. One of the biggest assets we'll have in terms of controlling that is the manager. So, and I just think they're in safe hands with the manager being able to calm everybody down. He exudes calmness, he exudes confidence, he exudes coolness. And I'm chuffed that it's him in the technical area. Might not be for Ibrox, but that neither here nor there. Paul Lambert says that doesn't matter either, because if you're a Celtic player and you're looking across to the manager as to what to do, then you shouldn't be in the park. You know, you should be able to just take charge of your own destiny that day and do what's required. So these things I'm fully on board with. So just strap yourself in. It's going to be torture, but it is what it is.
Yes, it is, and we will get the ball rolling next week when we'll be less than a week out from things getting going again, and it's going to be mad. I think it's just going to be a hell of a ride, the final, 9 or 10 matches of the season. Thomas wondering, I'm assuming this is to me, you're going to be doing the pre- and post-match briefing then. No comment. Might be an early start for me doing that. I'm saying I'm getting up for the games. I'm not saying I'll be in any fit state to actually do anything. But the kickoff times are a bit better here.
You're always welcome on the briefing, Hamish, if you want to do it in the run-in.
Okay.
We'll be guided.
I might pop on and just surprise you one day.
We'll be guided by yourself on that one. But you know you can if you want to. But I get the time difference and all that. So we'll leave that in your capable or incapable hands, depending on which state you're in watching the games.
Yeah. Well, the next derby's a 9 p.m. kickoff here, so I don't plan on being in a state that I could do a pre-match briefing that day. I plan on being well oiled at that stage. Anyway, speaking of that, the weekend is here. So enjoy yourself, guys. Everyone else, enjoy yourself. Thanks for tuning in once again. And yeah, enjoy a kind of chilled weekend, because the next several are not going to be chilled. I can guarantee you that. Remember to check out our exceptional offer we've got going at the moment. 6 months of access for a single pound, and you get a free Kyogo print made by renowned football artist, made by Frankie as well. Right, all the best, everyone. Thanks. Catch you soon.